The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the authorities, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who is called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand on his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it on my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. So I came up with a great quote for us this morning. It goes like this. If a movement is to have an impact, it must belong to those who join it, not those who lead it. Those words are from Simon Sinek, my new theologian in leadership. I love his books. And I love the fact that he has a great sense of humor. Clarity, wisdom, and a great sense of humor, as far as I'm concerned, is somebody I want to listen to. So listen once more. Just let me say this one more time because it sort of flows through the sermon. If a movement is to have an impact, it must belong to those who join it, not those who lead it. Wisdom. Today's scripture is the beginning of Jesus' plan to make Simon's statement come true. Jesus was there knowing that he would not always be there and that his disciples would have to be the ones who joined the movement would then go out and continue the movement. That's all of us. So I thought we would start with our collect because, you know, these collects really, we say them as a community prayer, that first collect of the day. We say it as a community prayer, and so we're expected to mean it as a community prayer. And I thought this one really does collect all the ideas of the scripture that we heard. And so I'm going to read it again, but I'm going to insert a few comments and some questions. Now, don't worry about the questions. Don't worry, God will help you if you need help, so not to worry. Almighty and everlasting God. Well, that's nothing new. That's the way they all start. Who, in the Paschal mystery, established the new covenant of reconciliation? Did you know the resurrection was all about a new covenant of reconciliation? And what might that look like? And who and what exactly are we going to be in reconciliation with and about? After all, you can't do reconciliation all by yourself. It requires some kind of a conversation. Even if you are doing it for yourself, you have to reconcile with God as well. And then the collect goes on. Grant that all who have been reborn into the fellowship of Christ's body. Now, I got to tell you, how many here are born again Christians? Yeah. You know what? Not a whole lot of us think of that. Actually, we Episcopalians look kind of down our noses on people who say they were born again, as if our theology is somehow better than theirs. So you need to rid yourself of that idea right now, right here and now, because that's not. It is exactly our theology, and we profess it in our baptismal rite. We're going to renew our baptismal promises in a few minutes. So, yep, you are. You're all born-again Christians, unless you're not baptized. Anybody want to get baptized today? Okay, so we all are born-again Christians. And then it says that these born-again Christians in the fellowship of Christ's body, that means that we are a gathered together community. That's what God believes. We believe in a God that gathers us together. May show forth in their lives what they profess by their faith. You can't just say it, you have to do it to mean it. What was the last time you professed your faith in your life? Not here, this doesn't count. Out there. Think about that for a minute. Where did I profess my faith last week? And somebody would have noticed it. That's a good question to ask yourself often. And then it says, it ends the prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord, yada, 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 the same way it always ends. And then we all say amen. How many times did we hear amen in the second reading? And you all said amen? I thought I was back in the South. It was awesome. It was awesome. Every time somebody says amen in the congregation, there are always voices who echo that and say amen. And I thought, this is so cool. But those are hard questions in that collect. And it's a hard prayer to say yes to every single day. So imagine for a minute how the disciples were feeling as they sat in that upper room, having witnessed the crucifixion just recently. And remembering how they professed their faith or not in those times of crucifixion. And did they have sort of that feeling of need for reconciliation? Because of all that they didn't do for Jesus in that week. And suddenly, the greatest born-again Christ ever was standing before them. Now, let's just think about that. We say in our, we're going to say it today, that we look for the glory of God to come again, of Jesus. We expect Jesus to come again. So what if it was today? What if he showed up here? What would your reaction be? Would this be what your reaction would be? What would your reaction be? Seriously. Well, not seriously. Because it wouldn't be serious. It would be amazing. It would be what he told us was going to happen. It would have come true. When your dreams come true, what's your reaction?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, yeah. With your whole body, we learned how to do that. You can't say that word and be serious about it.
Hallelujah. No.
Can't do that. And I think that's the way it must have been. There probably was a moment of shock. But after that, there must have been this amazing sense of joy. That's how you react to something that is so amazing. And I think it's because Jesus was that amazing. So I decided this is our focus. Let me hold that up a little higher, and I'm going to turn it around so the choir can see it. This would be the laughing Jesus. And I had somebody last night at the communion rail, they were standing right in front of this, say to me, I've never seen a picture of Jesus laughing. Well, the Jesus I know would laugh all the time. He was full of joy all the time. I bet he knew a whole bunch of good jokes that would be appropriate for church. But I do. I think he had a sense of humor. And that's important for us to know, because before the real work can begin, we have to celebrate. And Jesus knew that. Jesus knew that these people sitting that had walked so many miles with him had gone through a horrendous week. Maybe even as horrendous as he had. And that they were still feeling that pain. And so what did he say to them? Peace be with you. Not once, three times. I bet he said it. I bet he said it a ton of times more. That's all they wrote in that story. They already told you, not all the stories got written in. So we use our imaginations to sort of fill in those places about what these people did as they really became aware of the fact that Jesus was standing right there. And then he had said to Thomas, here, put your hand on my side. Fully human, fully divine. Jesus knew the glory of laughter as a healer, the wisdom of laughter to forgive, and the grace of laughter to reconnect those places that are broken in us. So I know that in the Diocese of Western Massachusetts, I have heard that this Sunday, the second Sunday of Easter, which most people know as Low Sunday because hardly anybody ever shows up. But look, we're all here. That's right. Amen. Now, there's not as many people as there were last Sunday. Last Sunday was amazing. 250 people here worshiping the resurrection and giving thanks and praise. But that's what we're doing too. And so they've named it Momentum Sunday, and I thought, yeah, I don't know how you're going to make that happen. But I didn't give it too much thought, I have to tell you. I just thought, well, we'll just see what happens. And I was pretty sure what was going to happen. I was pretty sure who I would see here. And we would be all happy to be here together on this second Sunday of Easter. And then my friend Marin posted on Facebook on Friday, I think it was, about another name for this Sunday that goes back to the first, second, third centuries. Some people call this Sunday Bright Sunday. Others call it Holy Humor Sunday. You know I got into that. Yeah, Holy Humor Sunday. And the roots of that come from second or third century where somebody came up with the idea that resurrection truly must have been one of the founding fathers, that resurrection was God's joke on the devil. Think about that one for a minute. Our God has a sense of humor, and so does Jesus.
And so we need to, too. And one of the great things about laughter is that it shows our joy. It lifts us up. It heals us. It does a lot of things for us. And so actually giving a Sunday to this would build our momentum. And when I actually looked on the internet to see who else knew about this, apparently a whole bunch of people did, but not us Episcopalians, apparently, because not too many people have known about this, but I think Sue did. We talked about it. Sue knew about it. So I thought, this is what we need to do, is give ourselves a chance, just the way Jesus would have done in that upper room, to celebrate just us, to celebrate and show off our joy. Not to take ourselves quite so seriously. Really. How we might do that on Holy Humor Sunday. Our psalm certainly tells us how to do it. What does it say in the psalm that we should be doing in order to praise God? We were supposed to use what? Yeah, cymbals, clanging cymbals, lyre, instruments. I have a whole box of them back there. But they're not for you to use. Not unless you're really good. Then maybe the kids will give you one to do. So think for a moment, in this past week, what brought you to laughter? Whether it was just that sort of gleeful smile, or right out loud, you know, LOL, laugh out loud. It just made you laugh out loud. What was that one thing? Think about that for a minute. And think about what it made you feel, how your body felt when you laughed like that. That's joy. And that's what Jesus wants us to feel. And those kinds of feelings can happen even in our darkest times. There have not been any time I can think of, even times of great sadness in my life, when somebody or something happened that at least put a smile on my face. It's not something that we can sustain. It's something that happens to us. We just can't control it. We laugh or we smile. It's a gift. It's grace. So my friend Marin actually came up with a laughter affirmation list. This is so Marin, but I have to tell you, I think it's a really good thing to do, to think about the things that, when you laugh, become easier. She says, I laughed and I could move through my arthritis. These are all personal to her. I laughed and decreased my stress. I laughed and my mind became clearer. I laughed and relaxed in chemo. I laughed and felt control over my chronic pain. I laughed and boosted my immune system. That actually has research behind it. I laughed and somebody believed me when I said my faith was full of joy. I laughed and I had the energy for one more letter, email, organizational meeting for justice. I laughed and it was easier to be generous with my money and my time. I listened to someone else's laughter, and my grief eased just a little. I saw the humor in the squirrel's antics, my hat hair, and running for the bus. And my next choice of words were kind ones. I said, I'm not comfortable with that. I had an ugly joke about someone different, and my spirit became peaceful. I laughed, and my wrinkles turned up. I laughed and my neck relaxed. I prayed to laugh when I didn't feel like laughing. I laughed and I knew it was a prayer. When Jesus showed up in that sanctuary, that safe place with his disciples, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." receive the Holy Spirit. And he's breathing on us right now. So just for a minute, close your eyes and receive the Holy Spirit, the joy, the lightness, the laughter. And if you forget that feeling, even for a moment, you can go back to that last moment, that last line in the gospel that said about what Jesus was there to do. And that was about to give us life. And that life is supposed to be full of joy and abundance. And it certainly can be here at St. Andrew's. We have life. And part of that life is amazing grace and true joy. It's not supposed to be Good Friday all the time. We are here to praise and give thanks. Now, I once had a therapist back in my, I think it was my 30s, say to me, "Susan, you are way too serious." And I was then. She was a really good therapist. She got me over it really fast. But what she said to me was, "You need to be more spontaneous." Now, I don't think of myself, I've told you, I don't think of myself as a really brave person, but spontaneous, back in my 30s, nope, that wasn't happening. But I've learned to be more spontaneous and take more risks and just be who I am. And it's about showing our joy when we're spontaneous. And so, I do think we need to practice spontaneity, actually doing things that nobody would ever expect to see a whole congregation of Episcopalians do on a Sunday morning in church. Hallelujah, he is risen. So I thought to myself, what could we do here on a Sunday morning that would be joyful? And I thought, well, these people sing. Now, I didn't do this. I didn't make the 5 o'clock or the 8 o'clock sing, although the 8 o'clockers this morning chose. I gave them 3 options. They chose to sing and dance. And so, and I just said, I told them, I said, well, I'm not giving the 10 o'clockers a choice. So, it's time to join in. Whoops, I hit the wrong button. Hang on, we'll do this. Okay, let's start this again. On your feet. On your feet. Glad in it and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. Look who arrived. Glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day. This is the day. The Lord has made, that the Lord has made. What a... has made. Glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Okay, so that was totally the Holy Spirit. Those kids just walked in when that music started. That was so cool. So I'm just going to say, because the Holy Spirit truly has been received in this place, or that would not have happened, amen. Amen.
Bye.